Good evening, everyone. It's Wednesday night at 7 o'clock, and we're continuing our exploration of the ABD Guidebook by E.J. Gold. The ABD Guidebook really, as it turns out, is a companion to the Red ABD, which we worked with last year. And we're at the last part of our exploration of this particular book, and we're working our way through the sermons. And an interesting thing has been in unfolding itself lately, and that's that we're appointing individuals to act as the pastor or the priest, and then they're going to deliver their sermon to the congregants that have joined us tonight. So, and it's an interesting experience both for the pastor and for the congregants. And this is our third go at it. We'll have one more next week. And then we're going to be moving on to the Invocation of Presence, which is another book by E.J. Gold that came out quite early on, right, George?
Yes, it did. About 86, I think.
Yeah, so it was right as I was getting to the school here, that was one of the ones that was being issued in 86.
Yeah.
That was different, the talks, this and Vev. Anyway, so we're going to be moving into that, but right now we're going to continue our work with the sermons. And Harry, how you doing over there? You ready for us?
I believe I am, David. If my sound is correct, if you can hear me correctly.
Your sound is wonderful to me, and I was wondering if you wanted to start out on number 10.
It would be my pleasure.
Okay.
By the way, if it were up to me, and I believe you asked this of us earlier, if we would select a title for the sermon that's coming on, I would give this one the title of You Can't Have It Both Ways.
One of the experiments that the congregants can do is to not read along, but to allow the meaning that our pastor is giving to us to flow through to us. So we'll go ahead and start with Harry on number 10, please. And when you're ready, go ahead.
It is not possible to believe in the power and the reality of the material world, and yet to believe in the Spirit as the absolute and only truth. In the face of the knowledge that the Spirit is the father of the material world, the power and the reality of the world of matter dissipates into the voidness that it is in truth. Within the teaching, any resistance to the absolute truth of the nature of Spirit can be a real hindrance to liberation. It can bring about an unconscious and unrecognized or fearful death, confusion, and disharmony. And so anger, pride, envy, and superstitious beliefs can prevent the benefits of the teaching by countering the efforts of the dying or deceased to attain liberation or a better rebirth by taking action as a spiritual being. If we strive to understand the material world, but we don't fathom the spiritual nature of reality, then we cannot hope to overcome the shock and confusion of sickness and of death as spiritual and not physical ailments. Although you may have faith in the Spirit, it is only because you have been shown its absolute power over the material world and the actions and existence of phenomena of the world of matter. But for the patient who is sick and dying, he will need more than understanding and help. He will need your own experience on which to lean and depend. He will find faith by seeing and feeling your own faith. a dependable faith because it was built on experience and not on theory or speculation. You cannot depend on the faith of the patient because his faith has not been built on personal experience and understanding. So your faith will have to be strong enough to sustain him as he flounders in misunderstanding and confusion during the transit states. And you will have to hold him fast while he is forced by the procession of the true forms of reality to give up his beliefs in the reality of existence of the world of matter and in all the things in which he believed while he was living in the world. It is usually far easier to heal the most malignant disease than to get someone to give up a belief that they have held for a long time and have grown to depend upon for their very existence and being. Applying the teaching can be much easier than teaching the teaching to another. But it is very important that all humanity learn the teaching, and eventually they will. For the fear and confusions of material life and the love of comfort and passion for desired objects and power of influence in the world are strong reasons for humanity bondage to the world of matter and energy and for the belief in the material world's reality. Fears which have been brought about by ignorance are easily dispersed. But to remove the effects of a billion, trillion, trillion, trillion years of beliefs rooted so deeply in humanity that a whole world of matter and energy was created out of them requires that the living be brought to the point which is far superior to these beliefs. That means that the spirit has to be awakened before it can even begin to recognize what has happened to it. Disease and confusion are brought about so much by a condition then, but by the being's decision to be in that condition. Disability will disappear as soon as the spiritual nature of existence is restored in human knowledge and awareness. This ends the 10th sermon.
Thank you, Harry. I was moved by a number of things in that sermon, but I was also, toward the end, it hit me. I wanted to ask Harry, how did it feel delivering the sermon?
Well, since I just awakened from a nap about 20 minutes ago, it was an awakening for me as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I still think that the title, You Can't Have It Both Ways, applies.
Yeah, that's a good
that's
one.
That's good. Both ways. They aren't titled, but he was inspired to give it that title.
This would be on the sign outside the meeting place.
Yeah. Actually, yeah. It's true for most of the sermons that I've heard here.
Yes.
It could have been a title, it's like a continuation
right.
of You Can't Have It Both Ways, Part 4.
Right.
Well, it seems to have that theme running through all of them.
I concur.
This one was, the uniqueness about this one, which frightened me, was that the sermon indicates that when we are giving aid to someone in transit, someone who's dying, that they may not have the strength of spirit, to have the faith that they are spirit. And then in the sermon it says, So your faith has to carry them. We need to get, Doug is saying, yeah, that means like I need to get to work tonight. Because what if on the way home, I'm somebody that winds up in the position where I'm giving a reading to somebody? Is my faith such that they can be buoyed by it? Can they be carried by that? Because this is the true spirit of emanation of the teacher. The teacher shows us the teaching. Just shows us the teaching. So do we have at least enough that we can act as a little bridge for the transit, the transit voyager?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Marvette.
Yeah.
I'm inspired that you should do the next one. Is that okay with you?
Yeah, okay, that's fine.
So should she come?
She's
to
very
this,
enthusiastic at the moment.
This,
she's going to come
spot.
And sit where you are.
Okay.
We'll take your tea.
Come on.
Oh, is there another chair over there?
Yeah,
just go there. And you're going to do 14? You have your book?
Yeah, I got a book.
Okay. We assigned 14 a while ago.
Which one is next, David?
14.
Thank you.
Number 14.
All right.
Good.
I have to talk that way?
Well, speak.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
I'm not.
Well, I turned it down.
But did you turn it down for?
I turned.
The PA is for
both of them, but maybe I turned it down too much for this one.
For that one, yeah. Well, I don't think we need the PA.
Yeah.
We just need to get it on the recording.
Okay.
And if they're hearing it, it's fine.
All right.
So you just, whenever you're ready, you just begin.
Well, I didn't know about the titling, and Harry had such a cute title. I guess I would title the 14th sermon more like the superiority of spirit.
Okay.
So this is the 14th sermon. Thank you. There is nothing more destructive to spirit than to believe that there is a force or power which opposes the will of the spirit, or which occasionally overpowers the spirit's will. This self-destructive belief that some power or force has been endowed with the ability to oppose the spirit, or that the spirit has created or might have created some sort of force to be used against itself, is the most harmful belief that the spirit can come to subject itself to. One ought to be no more willing to submit to the belief in some power or agency which is greater than or equal to the spirit, then one should submit to hunger and thirst on the ground that they are necessary evils. In fact, there are no evils, necessary or otherwise, other than the impression that there must be evils because one can see what is an obvious indication that it must exist somewhere. Since it is all spirit, then there can be no evil, unless spirit itself is evil. And so, evil cannot exist except as an abstract idea. When you break or bend a material law, you might feel some apprehension as if something terrible is going to happen. Now that you have taken action as a spiritual being rather than as a material human being, this feeling of danger or impending doom is actually nothing but fear and is the cause of the body and mind receiving a blow from an action taken by the being. The expectation creates a punch delivered by the expectation. A spirit cannot actually suffer any consequences from breaking a law of material nature, except through belief. I'll give you that again. A spirit cannot actually suffer any consequences from breaking a law of material nature, except through the belief that breaking that immutable law deserves some kind of appropriate punishment.
Wow.
So that the being, oh, just a second. I'll try it again. Yeah. Okay, try that one again. A spirit, we must need to really hear this. A spirit cannot actually suffer any consequences from breaking a law of material nature, except through the belief that breaking that immutable law deserves some kind of appropriate punishment, so that the being doesn't do it again and make all those material folks unhappy and afraid because they saw one of the basic beliefs of the universe violated by a being. Material laws, the laws which create and maintain the universe of matter, space, energy, and time, are broken simply by recognizing the real nature of existence. The spirit realizes its seniority to the material world and acts from that understanding and knowledge. This completes the reading of the 14th sermon.
Go ahead.
Powerfully done, Marvette.
Thank you.
No.
Distortion of a particular person?
Okay. Well, these guys are listening on the phone, so it's, it'd be hard. And we don't have it in the space itself, so.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Oh, what?
So, what, huh? Granted. For the... Okay. Are you hearing it when I'm speaking now, Grant? The distortion and muscular spark?
Was this during the last sermon or the whole, all the different speakers? Was this during just the last sermon or during all different speakers?
Yeah.
David, I just lost you for about 12 or 15 seconds here.
Okay. Well, we were actually kind of quiet here. Can you hear me now? Okay.
Indeed, I can. Yes.
All right. Okay. Okay. I think it's that mic because you were coming in and out of the PA as well. So that's probably the problem.
Yeah.
Well, I have a question for Marvette and a comment on the sermon. One, what did it feel like for you to deliver that information to us?
Well, I was trying to get a connection, which I don't feel I was successful with as I am in doing reading.
Right.
But
interesting.
I think I had an understanding of the whole thing while I was reading it.
Okay.
And
yes.
So that's one of the indicators that you do have a connection for delivery. That you are sending it out clearly. At least that's
right.
What I have been given to understand.
And
Marvette, when you stopped for a moment and then said, well, let's do that over again, that hiatus actually trapped my attention more closely. I thought it was a very useful thing to have done.
Well, I actually left out a word, so I needed to start over again in that sentence, and then having a throat problem.
Yeah, but it worked.
Well, that's good.
Yes, it did.
So one of the key elements in this particular sermon is this idea that we are, if you buy into the belief and you buy into the fear, that's the problem. It's the buying into it. There's nothing in the fear itself, because of the nature of spirit, that is an aberration. It's our belief in it, that we buy into it.
Yes, definitely the whole thing is about belief.
Yeah. And Spinoza says that, you know, that in there's nothing... No harm can actually come from fear, except insofar as the mind is affected by it. You know, there's not this horrible thing out there unless we buy into it. And if we buy into it, here we are.
But then the distinction was made in this sermon that the mind, it wasn't necessarily said it's of nature, but it indicated that it's not the same caliber of spirit.
Right.
So that it is of the illusory.
Yeah.
So all that suffering is part of the illusion. And you can choose to not experience that if you really align yourself with it is all spirit.
But if we start working on ourselves and we find ourselves in a confusion of fear and into that sort of thing, that can be a trigger to wake us up at that point and to realize, I'm not in spirit, I'm buying into this. And then you can recalibrate, come back again, and begin again.
That's if you have the excellent habit set in place to self-observe and
yeah.
recognize
yeah.
that you're buying in and there's another option or other options.
And one of the ways that I use it is I work with the facial mask, and when the facial mask starts to change in a certain way, it's a trigger of self-observation. So.
And sometimes people, actually, Yi-Chae has mentioned recently that in the culture, everybody's talking with their hands.
Yeah.
And a while back, I was given the clue that if you get lost in your hands, that, you know, your machine is getting real active and you can be falling asleep
yeah.
and just being, you know, on mechanical with that conversation. And so I've used that at times to go,
right.
Oh, the machine's really active right now. It's really excited about what are you saying? What is this all about anyways?
That's right.
Are you paying attention?
That's good. So that's a trigger for you to help you go back and self-observe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the thing is, in the culture today, that's the whole cool thing.
That's right.
You know, and it makes you think, oh, robots, yeah, that's what he's talking about. They, you know, you got to love them. They have a place. You need to populate the game with something. I mean, that's what he's indicated. I've heard that before. So, anyways.
Thank you, Marvette. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Would you like to do one? You up for that? Just arbitrary, okay?
Okay. Just a comment. People are saying that it has cleared up, and Muscle Spark says it felt like a good connection despite the technical challenge.
What did you say? Yes, I concur.
Aside from the technical challenge.
Despite
the technical.
So occasionally what we also do is we just arbitrarily pick somebody from our vast audience here, and we look for a volunteer, we grab one of the volunteers, and just hand them a sermon to see what's going to happen. So that's where we are today, and our next pastor is Pastor Doug, who will read number 4.
And the title of number 4 is?
Say five?
Yeah.
Okay.
Fear, confusion, disease, and death are not spiritual. We are sure to recognize that there is only spirit. So as one goes up the scale in spiritual growth, the belief in and effect upon oneself of these things of the world of matter disappear. The higher one goes in spiritual evolution, the less real these things are, and the more real the genuine nature of spirit. Since matter and energy are made up of the five primal forms of consciousness, and have in themselves no consciousness or any form of thought, they cannot take an action of their own. They cannot take any action which the Spirit has not given them to take. Therefore, the conditions of existence in the world of matter is that the objects of material existence are without consciousness and without the ability to initiate action, and so are completely under the direction of the Spirit. Then what is the source of birth, old age, sickness, and death? Can spirit be the source of these things? They are the cause of all suffering and yet they exist only in the dream and are only as real as the dreamer's belief in their reality. To the pure spirit, these are not real, and therefore they have no power over the spirit. But they are elements of the dream, and to the spirit which has become drawn into the dream and believes in its reality, they have become real, and therefore he is under their power. Therefore, once the spirit becomes to believe in the reality of the material world and in its power to affect the spiritual being, the source of these causes of suffering are the spirit who has become degraded by the existence of the world and has floundered in its depths so long that the real source of all actions and material things is the spirit itself. When the spirit has been cleansed of its encounters with the world of matter, then all material effects are washed away. Eliminate the power of the world, and the suffering of the world is also eliminated. The spirit has been purified and reclaims those things of which it is the source. When fear and confusion vanish in the light of the spirit, cause of suffering and illness, fear and death also vanishes. If you allow yourself, as a practitioner, to believe in the reality of matter as the source of illness, fear, birth, suffering, and death, you provide them with the power to rule your spirit. When you admit discord and disease, and permit them to have their own reality and source within the world of matter, you give them this power over your spirit, that you cannot help yourself nor be helped in spirit. Giving such power to material things prevents their recognition as the simple interplay of the five primal forms of consciousness within the void, thus rendering the practitioner unfit for the successful application of the teaching. And so a practitioner always dwells in the reality of pure spirit and never allows the material world to be the source of itself, but only the result of the direction of the divine spirit and subject to it. Thus ends sermon number 4.
Thank you, Ben. You know, these were clearly not going in a linear way. We're just going from sermon to sermon, but the message is so potent that the we're being beseeched to remember we are spirit. We are spirit. Yeah, oh yeah.
To me, it felt like a scientific or mechanical. It was like the scientist with the huge blackboard with the figures all over it. It's like it's there it is. There's, you can't work around it. It's just there. So clear.
So it's like the law of gravity.
Yeah.
It's just there. And
oh. Very nice.
Yeah. You want to take a shot, Dan? You want to read from there, or would you like to read it here? Thank you.
Is this a good mic system?
Turn just slightly toward this. So bring the mic in a little closer. There you go. There you go. You're locked in there now, buddy.
Okay.
You're locked in there.
David, what sermon is coming up?
13.
Thank you.
13.
13th Sunday sermon. Without the human intellect and its belief in the power and the reality of material existence, there can be no fear, no confusion, no disease, no death, no birth. Disease is not brought about by material existence, nor is it inflicted by God. It is inflicted by a spiritual being that is not aware of the nature of its own reality. It is powered by the being and given life by the being. And without the agreement, or at least apathy, of the being, it could not occur unconsciously or without the being's specific control. And disease and death can confuse and upset the being, then fear, confusion, and paranoia can also attack the spirit and make it believe in their reality and power, because they all come from the same source, spirit. Spirit tends to look for the source of these body and mind upsets out there in the material world, but they are coming from the spirit itself. No wonder the spiritual being has trouble handling it. The doctor looks to bacteria and virus, or to the environment, to be the cause of disease or death, while the practitioner looks to the spirit as the real cause of disease and death. The practitioner knows that there is only one cause for what is happening to the patient. But the doctor believes that there could be many causes. As long as humanity looks for the causes of things that happen, or things that exist in the world of matter and not in spirit, real nature of existence is not going to be known to man. And so, control of the conditions of existence and an understanding of the nature of oneself and of one's experience cannot be realized by material man, but only by the spirit. That ends the 13th Sunday sermon. Really, very, very nice.
Thank you, Dan.
I just found that I couldn't deliver the sermon. I just had to let the sermon deliver itself. I couldn't deliver the sermon. I could not. I had to allow it to. I could move my muscles and cause my voice to sound, but It's I guess the word is over my head. It's not something that I can absorb and give back, give out to people. I have to allow it to
express itself. And I thought that perhaps I was interfering with it because of what I was feeling, and apparently that isn't necessarily the case.
Not necessarily. Just the fact that you're noticing emotions and feelings in yourself does not mean that they're dominant. In fact, if we notice them and observe them, they start to pacify. Just because they're there doesn't mean that that is the message. Your message was very, there was a simplicity that I haven't heard yet in the way that you've done this. It's very interesting. Thank you.
I think I should give some credit to Marvette for the science fiction radio theater. I think that practice helps.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, sure.
She's saying that there's shown to be a tremendous difference when people are in a group and reading, which is what that program is about. And receiving the reading.
Good night. Michelle, would you like to do? Would you like to do 9? Or if you'd like, you can do 7 again. I think that's fine. There are no rules. Would you like to read from there? Or would you like to come here? If you're, which one would you like to do? 9 is okay? We'll do 9 next. Should be closer, Ivan.
David, you have been breaking up. I don't know if that's true for other people.
I've been away from the mic.
For about the last couple of minutes, it would be 15 seconds on, 15 seconds off kind of thing.
Okay.
The 9 Sunday sermon.
Sounds really good.
The 9th?
Yeah.
Yes.
Sunday sermon. 9. You, as a practitioner, should remember that the material mind is not the boss and doesn't even have any reality other than what the spiritual being decides to give it. So it shouldn't be allowed to make any important decisions. Recognition of the spiritual nature of reality would be simple and obvious, except for the belief in matter, energy, space, and time as real in themselves and as the cause of the existence of humanity and the environment, rather than spirit being the cause of these things as it is. Humanity binds itself within its own beliefs and calls them matter and energy, gives them powers as if they were real and absolute, then calls them laws of nature and proceeds to obey those natural laws like a dog in obedience school. He really believes he has to conform to these laws of nature and that he cannot break them or distort them. Why not? He doesn't remember having made them up in the first place. When man recognized himself as the spirit, which is the clear shining void, he frees himself from all fear, sin, suffering, and confusion or spiritual darkness. He is not subject to the dictates of time and space because he is spirit, which creates time and space and gives it its power and existence. For him, there is no difference between himself as the experiencer of the world and himself as the creator of the world. The spirit motivates the world and makes the world real or unreal according to his wishes. That concludes the reading of the nine sermons.
No. You had a response.
The response I have is every one of these sermons, there are just moments in them, passages or statements and so on, that are just a complete wake-up call. I mean, it's just one after another to remember who you are, remember what the reality is, remember who's in charge, remember.
Things. One is that I felt you really owned it. I know you didn't select that particular one, but it just felt like you owned the words as they came out. And then the it's so clear in this case, like the one that. Who's the one? I'm forgetting now. The one where it was like if the practitioner doesn't have faith, it's our experience of faith that has to carry them. Which one was that we just read tonight? That was the first one we read, Harry's, right? That was yours, Harry?
I believe so, David. They're all the same. They're all saying the same message.
There's
one reality. And there's and then there is the dream.
But like I've been saying, each one has a specific, you know, that I guess with for some reason I really could feel how absolute clear EJ is when he wrote this, that the distinction between the two worlds.
Because the reader really believed it.
I think the reader really believed
it too. Well, it gives me joy when I talk from the spirit view. Feel the joy of reading it. When man recognizes himself as the spirit, which is the clear shining void, he frees himself from all fear, sin, suffering, and confusion or spiritual darkness.
I like that, too.
There you have it.
It seems like a person could go through all of these sermons and make a list of all the aspects of the material world that I won't say cause us to believe in it, but the ones that we tend to believe in that make us feel like it is the reality. And at every single one of them, he's going through and saying the cause of that is not the material, it's the spirit. And usually the belief of the spirit.
Yeah.
By the way, if I could just throw in that that book, Human Biological Machine as a Transformational Apparatus, is such a tour de force in terms of helping us understand how our human biological machine, a dominant electrical field, which is caught up in a material world of time and energy and sequential reactions and stimulation, you know, multiplicity and diversity. If we can gradually turn our attention to our essential self, which for me seems to be a synonymous word with spirit. So spirit is such, for me, it's an overused word. But boy, essential self, for me is more to the point, you know, just a different electrical field within ourselves, which as we go through this guidebook or the American Book of the Dead facilitates the ability of re-indoctrinating the essential self to its fundamental nature. And as EJ says in A Human Biological Machine, it only has two characteristics to begin with, attention and presence. And as we grow those two, then other powers become available to us. And then gradually, I suppose, one of those powers is our ability to see the world of material, that the material world is nothing more than a dream. So, thank you, EJ.
Yeah, thank you,
yes.
Presence. Yeah, that's good. So we'll take it up again next week, and we have 2, 3, 5, 11, 15, and 17 remaining. I don't know if there's anybody that would like to do it that hasn't done it. There are going to be two sermons that Pat and I do in a very different way. We'll close the way we're going to do it, okay? And it'll be a little bit different. But any
is Kay?
I don't know if Kay's on. Yeah, she's a good reader, but I think she hasn't been on for a few weeks. Okay. So we'll work in exactly the same manner next week. And George, if you're able to make it, and Hare, if you're able to make it, on the spur of the moment, we may assign you just to pick one up, okay?
Hey, I'd like to volunteer for two right now.
Okay.
Or I'm available if you call on me.
No, I'm going to go with that. Okay. That works for me, too. Okay.
I guess
yeah, I'm gonna
that was one of the ones that hadn't been read.
Yeah, it is.
David, I will trust to the Spirit when you assign me one on the spot. We'll be fine.
Okay, good. You'll trust to the Spirit on the spot, of course. And that's part of our training, too, and our work. And that's why I just called on Michelle, just because. And without selecting anyone, she didn't select this one, which is quite beautiful. So
yes.
Anyway, thank you all the readers and the pastors and the congregants, and we'll look forward to seeing you next Wednesday again at 7 o'clock. Thank you so much.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, everyone. Good night.